Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this family that is so thoughtful and caring. This church family, Lord. And for all the things they do for other people in various ways. Because it's encouraging to me, to Pastor Ryan, to the elders, as we all share the burden of helping others carry their burden with our assistance. And now, Lord, in the moments remaining, please keep the peace of calming, the calming peace of heaven upon this congregation as we look at the beginning of this new series, that we can be encouraged from your word to continue the battle of life. Use me in spite of me, Lord, to be a blessing, please. And thank you, you always hear and always answer, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you know where Badwater Basin is? How many know where Badwater Basin is? How many have been to Badwater Basin? Oops. I haven't been there, but I'm going to go there. This is in Death Valley National Park. And it's called Badwater Basin. Because back in the late 1700s, a man, an explorer with his mules and his group, decided to check the place out. And you know the searing heat that's there, right? In Death Valley. And they were thirsty, and they saw water glimmering in the distance, and it wasn't a mirage. They ran to that water as fast as they can. They hit their knees. The mules put their muzzle in, and all of a sudden, it was bad water. Bad water because it is full of salt. It cannot be drinking. It's impossible. And there in the middle of the desert, called Death Valley, they were dying of thirst. And they named the place Bad Water Basin. And by the way, if you wonder why it's Bad Water Basin, well, you already know about the bad water, but basin. The Bad Water Basin is the lowest point in the United States. 282 feet below sea level. And so all the evaporation from the heat that takes place, the minerals settle to the bottom, the salts collect, and you can't drink the water. You'll get very sick. In fact, it used to be the lowest point in the world until they found a place in Argentina that's 310 feet below sea level. Badwater Basin. You know, here's the problem. The rainfall is 1.9 inches a year. But get this. The evaporation rate is 150 inches a year. Now, I'll tell you what that means. 12 feet of water, 35 miles long, will evaporate in 1 year's time in Death Valley. 30 feet of water. 12 feet of water, 30 miles long. And so, you can't drink the water. You'll find a story in the Bible very similar that teaches us an incredible lesson. And so I invite you to join me on a journey on part one, which is called Israel Saw and Believed. Really? We're going to turn to Exodus 14:31. Exodus 14:31. Boys and girls, open your Bibles if you would. Turn to Exodus 14:31. If you don't have a Bible, boys and girls, I'll give you one. I know I've been saying that, and some of you have come to me, and I've always gotten tied up afterward, but I will really make an effort to get you a Bible. Forgive me. So we're going to look at Exodus 31. It sets the stage, 14:31 sets the stage and the setting of this great event. Notice what it says here in verse 31. It says, "Thus the Israelites saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses." And of course, the context here is their escape from Egypt, in which God miraculously parted the water. They walked through on dry land. I cannot imagine what it'd be like to look to your right and there's this solid wall of water just standing there, unhindered by any object that was visible. On the other side, the same thing. How deep some of those places were in the Red Sea, I can't imagine. 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 feet deep? Solid wall of water? They're walking through, probably scared to death that all of a sudden the water will collapse on them. But it didn't. They got to the other side. And after they escaped, Pharaoh's army set out in chase, and the waters closed upon them. And so can you imagine their elation? In fact, when you read here in chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang the song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horses and the riders have He has thrown into the sea. The Lord my strength and song, He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will praise Him, my father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is the man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariot and his armies have been cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them, and they sank to the bottom like a rock. The right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy." Wouldn't you do the same thing, feel the same way? Are you awake? I mean, I try to put myself in the situation so I can understand it better. I mean, they thought they were all dead. Pharaoh's army showed up out of the clear blue sky. They're stuck by water, a massive body of water in front, mountains all around them, and God parts it. They got to the other side safe and sound to watch the army of Pharaoh be destroyed. Man, they are celebrating. Take a look at verse 11. "Who is like You, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like You, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" One of my favorite songs from the King James verses. "Who is like unto Thee, O Lord among gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Who is like unto Thee?" What a God we serve. But folks, a short while later, the situation changed. I want you to move along to verse 22 of chapter 15. The same chapter we were just reading where they were celebrating. And we're going to go 3 days later and notice what it says. "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and then they went out to the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and they found what? They found no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Whoa. Do you notice a little bit of change in their attitude? Sure, I know these are simple terms that you could gloss over very easily. They were livid. They had been following Moses 3 days through the desert, and they saw the glimmer of water in the up front in the far. They were coming to water, and they were thirsty. They were burning with thirst. They ran lickety-split as fast as the fastest ones could get there, diving into the water, and it was it was bitter. Couldn't drink it. "Moses, why did you bring us here?" And you know, if you read your patriarchs and prophets, Moses knew about the waters of Marah. See, he knew that whole area. He spent 40 years out there, and he kept thinking, "Lord, what are you doing?" They were livid. They were angry. All of a sudden, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord among gods?" They turned on Moses. "Why did you bring us out here to die in the desert? We should have stayed in Egypt and died." Is your Christian life a little bit like that, maybe? Where things are going really good and you're singing away and something happens and you crash. Your faith, your Christianity, your godly character. For notice the strikes here against Moses when they turned on him. They came and they looked. First of all, 3 days later. Secondly, no water. Thirdly, the waters of Marah were bitter. And fourthly, the people complained. And by the way, I gotta tell you this. You gotta stop. Remember, I tell you, I try to put myself in the story. Just 4 or 5 days earlier, they had watched 10 miraculous signs from God that tied the Egyptians in a knot, suddenly gave them a free avenue to leave and escape. And then they came to the situation at the Red Sea and were sure they were all dead. God parts the water. They cross over. They're all happy. But all of a sudden, they're complaining. Even after singing that beautiful song. And when I read this, all I could think of was my Christian experience. And I wondered if you thinking the same thing for yourself as we look at this. But you see, Moses did the right things, folks. What did Moses do? Take a look at verse 25. Verse 25, as we continue this, it says, "And the people complained against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' So Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the water, the waters were made sweet." I think, man, Moses prayed. He interceded for the people. And remember, who did they accuse of bringing them there? Moses. Oh, and by the way, what was Moses following? The cloud. The cloud right in front of them. Where'd that cloud come from? It's been with us ever since we left Egypt. And they were told it was the Lord. It was the Lord that led them to Marah. It wasn't Moses. And so Moses prayed, folks, I don't care how bitter your life may be, are you praying? And by the way, I must certify this to you. My reading has revealed to me that yes, some people suffer more than others. It's true. But Moses' response in this situation was what we must do no matter how bitter your life may be. No matter what trials you're seeing, experiencing, relationships, finances, children, are you praying? That's what Moses did. And what did God do? God said, Moses, check out that tree. Put it in the water. And Moses did. He did exactly what God told him to do. And the water was what? The water was made sweet. It was made bearable. Our Christians' experiences, or our life experiences, excuse me, can only be sweet whether you face trial or not. If you pray to the Lord, if you turn to the Lord. And so there's a deep meaning here, folks. A real deep meaning. Let me show you something. I got something for the children. They're going to like this. He threw a tree in the water. A tree. What is this tree thing? Look what it says here. This tree has generated lots of interest and speculation. There are stories about Arab chiefs in that part of the world that claim they can make bitter waters drinkable by putting certain kinds of thorn bushes in the water. Others have suggested certain kind of aromatic plants could be used to mask the bad taste of the bitter water, so to make the bitter waters unnoticeable. But how could Moses have known to throw a tree in the bitter waters? How could one little tree make enough bitter water sweet for so many people? Well, I tried to think of it. I thought, well, I know. I forgot to tell you that, didn't I? Maybe the tree was an ice cream tree. That would make it sweet, huh? Or maybe it was a soda pop tree. Or, there we go. It could have been a money tree. It could have been a chocolate tree. It could have been a tree that grows gold. Oh, this is so sad. I had something for the children. All I did was push this button. I can't show them now. I'll tell you what I was going to show you. I was going to show you a real tree that's full of goats. Trying to figure out how the tree would make the water sweet. Take a look at 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. And I want to suggest to you an answer that I didn't. Actually, one commentator mentioned this, but only one out of all of them. Do you have 1 Peter 2:24? Here's what it says. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Amen. Amen. I want to suggest to you that whether I'm correct or not, there's the goat tree, by the way. Whoops. See the goat tree? That's not a fake photo. That's a real photo. Those. And I wanted the children to see this tree. Do you think Moses threw that tree in? I'll tell you, that's amazing. But there's the tree. There's the tree that Moses threw in the bitter waters to make them sweet. The cross of Calvary, where Jesus was crucified. The only way we can endure this life and the soon coming time of trouble is with a real, live, honest-to-goodness relationship with Jesus Christ. We must spend time every day in our Bibles, praying and reading our Bibles in the spirit of prophecy. And that's the only way we can endure what's going on. And I want you to also see, folks, to encourage you that it was God who tested the Israelites. Did you read closely verse 25 of the story of Marah, the bitter water made sweet? It says here in verse 25, He made a statute and ordinance for them, and there He tested them. He tested the Israelites to show them their true character. They were singing and praising God and hallelujah and happy as can be. The trial comes, bam, it's all gone. God tested them. He wanted them to see their real character. And by the way, we should understand this. Paul said, what I want to do, I can't do. What I don't want to do, I do do. Is that a description of your life? It is mine, unfortunately. But Paul says, praise be to God through Jesus Christ. He's our only hope. The cross of Calvary in the bitter waters will sweeten no matter what your trial may be. And so I think of what Jesus told the woman at the well. And folks, I want you to know that as far as I can tell in the Bible and spirit of prophecy, this is the first person he ever looked at directly at this point and said, yes, I'm the Messiah. John 4:14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. It's our only hope. It's our only solution. And I want to give you two examples. Here's the first one. You know what my Bible tells me? It says here in verse 25, so he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. And said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. Verse 27, then they came to Elim. Okay, quickly go in your mind if you would. Back to my first slide that showed bad water basin. And now let's look at Elim. A beautiful paradise. That after they went through that trial, where did they end up? In paradise. If they throw the cross of Calvary into the bitter waters of their life, they will end up in paradise. Do you remember what it says in Job? And you know, some of you here I've talked to and you said, Pastor, I feel like Job. And some of you I have been with when you said that, and in my mind I thought, I understand why you feel that way. I'm not sure how you can endure what you're going through. And when we read Job, man, we read a man who was just literally destroyed. And notice what it says in verse 12 of 42 of Job. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. When we throw the cross of Calvary into our bitter waters, we will end up in paradise. But we have the choice of becoming bitter, angry, resentful, cynical. And that's why we must read our Bibles every single day. That's why we must pray every single day. That's why we must come together and pray, folks. Even if you don't feel like it. Because when we do, the bitter waters are made sweet. Yes. Father, I want to thank you for testing us the way you do, even though in my life I complain. And now I'm learning, Lord, that you're in control of everything and I must let go. And I pray for each and every person here today, Lord, that we would reread this story when we go home, that we would see that you in your love and mercy will test us to show us what our real character is like so that we can come to you to correct it. And be more like you instead of like us. Oh, that the Paradise Church would be a loving, thoughtful, patient, merciful, caring church for each other and for strangers that come here. Help us to this end, Lord. For we know you're coming soon and we want to be ready. And Lord, is there anybody here who hasn't accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior? Time is short. I pray you touch their heart. And maybe someone has thought about baptism since the baptism took place. And they can come up front and share with us their conviction so we can pray with them right now. Please take away these hesitancies, these doubts, and these fears that come from nowhere but Satan. And that we would give you the praise you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I invite you to stand with me, if you would, as we sing our closing hymn, God Will Take Care of You. Take care of you. God will take care of you. Thank you, many church, be here soon. Dismiss us with your presence. Keep us close by your side. And move upon all our hearts so that as we walk out the door, we will be absolutely sure that your word is true. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.